Glad to have our brother Noel this morning. He's going to come and read the scriptures for us and then preach the word that God has laid upon his heart for our service this morning.
Have your Bibles. We are going to turn to the book of Isaiah and chapter 1. The book of Isaiah and chapter 1. And we're going to break into the reading. And we're going to commence to read from the verse 10. Isaiah chapter 1, I'm beginning to read at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are troubled unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou would be with us as we would center our attention upon it now. We pray for help to preach and help to listen to thy word. We pray that thou would deal with those who's not saved. We pray that divine grace would be given to them to turn away from their sins. That today, Lord, at the very commencement of a new year, they will behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Cover us now, Lord, we would pray, with the precious blood of Christ. Defeat Satan's work in this meeting. And let our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted, yea, glorified in the preaching of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 1 and verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Today in God's house sees the beginning of a new year. It is now 2006 years since the Saviour of the world came into the world. As time goes by, we all know there are many changes takes place. We do know that there are changes in the world's creation. How often we read, how often we hear people on the television telling us about the danger of the ozone, how they tell us about ice melting, how they tell us how this old world is slowly yet gradually, it is coming to an end. The writer wrote it well in the hymn, Change and Decay, and all around I see. In Hebrews 1 verse 11, speaking about the world, they shall perish, but thou remaineth. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. One commentator said about the earth wearing down, he says, as a garment, The longer it is worn, the nearer it is to its end. Change and decay in all around I see. When we look at creation, we see changes. When we look at ourselves, we see changes. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, we all do fade as a leaf. There is a change in the creation of the world. There's a change in the world's population. In Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 4 it says, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. There's always a change in the population. Every one of us here today knows of people over the past year. They sat with us. We talked with them. But this year they're not here. We all know people. There'll be a funeral very shortly in this church today. The population's changing. We know people who's had new children brought into their families. They rejoice that God has been so good to them again. In fact, it is reckoned in 1 year from 2005 to 2006 that the population of the world will have grew by over 94 million people. You see, there's change all around us. There's change in the world's transgression as well, because we do know that sin is abounding in every hand. We look around our province, we look around the nation that we love, and we see there's a change. We see that transgression is abounding. That man is getting more and more bold in his sin. They're not afraid to parade their sin. They're not afraid to tell people just what they do. We know all about the civil laws that have come in. That have opened even the pubs to 24 hours a day. There's a great change. The Bible does tell us, of course, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous days shall come. We should not be surprised. We'd be more surprised if it didn't come. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And the Bible warns us. And the Bible has told us how this old world is going to come to an end. And before the coming to the end of the world, there's going to be an increase of sin and wickedness. Great change has taken place, even in the last year, in this land. Change in the world's transgression. But thank God, God never changes. And we're glad to be in this house today at the beginning of a new year. Malachi 3 and verse 6, the Lord says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God never changes. The world can change. The systems of the world may change. The populations of the world may change. But God never changes. He's the same God today, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And His love and concern for sinners never changes. And we see this in the words of our text, this great invitation. This invitation was given 2,766 years ago. And God comes to this man, Isaiah. And God had a message for him. And the message was for the people of Israel. And it was very simple, and it was very clear, and it was very sincere, because it came right from the very heart of God. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What words these are to come from the lips of God. And I want to say this morning, these words have never changed. This great invitation has never waxed old. This great invitation has never been taken away. These words are still as true. Still as powerful as the first day that they were uttered. God's call to a sinful world. And I can say to everyone here this morning, even basically those who's not saved, God's call to you at the beginning of a new year. This is God's word to your heart. This is God's word for those who's gone on without Christ. This is God's word this morning for those who still are in their sins. Come now and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's great invitation. As I look at this invitation, I can see, first of all, God's great, or God's divine compassion. You and I are drawing up an invitation list. We always give it out to the best of people. A wedding in the family, we sit down, we pick out our best friends, we'll ask this one, we'll ask that one, and we go round them, and then we go round the family members, and when you and I invite anyone to a do, whatever it may be, we always invite the worst, or sorry, the best. But it's not so with God. God's divine compassion is seen in this here. The recipients of this invitation were truly wicked and sinful and vile people. And yet we find God coming to this people through the lips of Isaiah the prophet, and God had a call for them. And God had an invitation for them because he loved them. You can see this people, that they were disobedient. In verse 2 it says, "And they have rebelled against me." They have rebelled against me, says God. They have resisted my word. They have rejected my ways. They have sinfully rebelled against me. They have broken away from my authority. They will not listen to the word of God. They had rebelled against God. Remember this, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, "For rebellion is as a sin of as witchcraft." That's how bad it is in the sight of God. And these people were rebellious. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey the word of God. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. And yet God says, "Come now and let us reason together." And there's maybe young people here today being rebellious, brought up in the house of God, older people in this meeting, living a life of sin, refusing to obey the Bible. That you're just committing the same sin as this people, being rebellious. You will not listen to God's law. You will not obey it. And yet God says, "Come now and let us reason together." God's call goes out to you again to the commencement of another year. These people's, their disobedience, their dumbness. In verse 3, the Lord shows that "But the ox knoweth his owner, and his ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." The Lord even brings it right down to animals. He says the old cow knows all about his owner, or the ass, the donkey. They know all about their owner. "But my people, they never consider about me. They never think about me." That their very actions, their attitude, was worse than the beast of the field. So how you're living? So how you're living today in the house of God? Is that what you're doing with this life that God has given to you? That your life, that your sin, that your attitude is even worse than animals? Do you ever think about God? Do you ever stop and consider the great world he has given us to live in? Do you ever get down on your knees and thank God for all the goodness, things that he's given to you, for your health and strength, for food, for soundness of mind and body? Do you ever thank God for the opportunities been given to you to hear the gospel? Are you like the beast, worse than the beast of the field? You don't even consider it. You can see also their description, how they are described in verse 4 as a sinful nation. A seed of evildoers, verse 4. They're corruptors. Even in verse 10, he talks about, spiritually speaking, Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we all know about the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet the Lord refers to this people as people like Sodom and Gomorrah. Their wickedness was vile in the sight of God. And yet God says, "Come." God says, "You tell them. You tell them to come to me. I know all about their wickedness. I know all about their deeds. laden with iniquity, full of sin. Verse 15, hands full of blood. I know all about their defilement, their sins like scarlet, doubly dyed, permanent, can be seen. I know all about this. I know all about their depravity in verse 5 and verse 6. I know there's not an ounce of good in them. I know all about their devotions, how they come with all their sacrifices and their heart is not in it. I know all about their hypocrisy. I know everything about their life. I see everything, says God. I see their depravity. I see their defilement. I see their deeds. But go and tell them to come to me. And friends, we are amazed at this. The God of holiness, the everlasting King, sends a man, Isaiah, out to preach to this people. This people whose lives were full of wickedness and full of sin. He goes out and he stands before them. And he says, I've got a message from God for you. God says, come now and let us reason together. God is calling you. Are we not amazed at this? He's not amazed he's calling you on safe in this meeting. Called you in the past, no doubt. Not the first time you've heard about God's great invitation. Not the first time you've been exhorted to turn from sin and come to Christ. But God is calling you. He knows all about you. He knows all about your deeds, your defilement, your devotions, your depravity. Yet you're invited to come to God. We're amazed at that. As C.H. Spurgeon, he looked at this group of people, he said, a more accurate description of careless, worthless, ungodly, abandoned souls never was given anywhere. And yet, that's the ones God invited. The divine compassion of God. What love there is with the Lord. As I was studying for this sermon, I came across a thing called the longest love letter. Maybe make some people chuckle, but the longest and simplest love letter was ever written. And there was this man, when he got it, wrote down that there was a phrase in it. And the phrase was, I love you. And he had it in the letter 1,875,000 times. Now, I don't know who counted them, but that's how often. Now, he didn't write it himself. Oh, he said, well, he's lazy. He got a scribe, a bit of money, this man. And he got a man to write it. And he didn't tell him to write it 1,875,000 times. He quoted it every time. And he looked at the man and says, right. And he told him, because it was in French, which I'm not going to try and pronounce it in French, I love you. And before the man wrote that down, he had to say it back to him. And then he wrote it down. And the end of the letter, and that's how many times the phrase was in it. Now, what he was trying to show this lady, impress her, that he loved her. I wouldn't say for you to do that, of course, but that's what he did. But you see, this lady was not rebellious to him. She had not blasphemed this man. She had not hated. She probably loved this man. She had not sinned against him. But the Lord's invitation is so different. And God can reach forth. And God says, come now and let us reason together. What love there is in an invitation, friends. Think about the crimes you've committed. Think about the sins that you've done. Think about the thoughts that you've thought. Think of the words that you've said. And yet God's calling you. Amazement. Commencement of another year, God is calling you. Also, not only God's divine compassion, God's divine counsel is seen in this. You see, the Lord is calling this people to a council. In other words, to a meeting. Come now and let us reason together. The word reason means to be right or to correct, you see. The sinner is being called to a meeting with God. That's what it is. God is calling them. Tell them to come in to see me. Tell them to come in and to talk with me. Tell them I want to see them. That's God's divine counsel. Come and let us reason together. And the theme of this meeting is set out very clearly in our text. It's your sins. That's the theme. God is calling sinners to come and to speak to them about their sins. This is what's going to be on the agenda of this meeting. Your sins. That's what God wants to speak about. Those things that were horrible and vile and wicked in His sight. He calls these people to come and to speak to Him about their sins. Now you think about this, everyone here this morning. Would you like to sit down with your best friend and talk about all your sins you've ever committed? Would a husband like to sit down with his wife or vice versa? Sit down and talk with them about every sin that you've committed. Everyone here would say no. But you know, God wants you to come to talk to Him about your sin. That's the theme of this meeting. Your sins. The guilt of them. The pollution of them. The punishment of them. The power of them. The forgiveness of them. God wants to speak to you about your sins. He wants to reason with you about your sin. Maybe there's young people in this meeting this morning, and your parents have been trying to reason with you. Your Sunday school teacher, other people have been trying to reason with you about your sins. But God wants to speak with you. God wants to talk with you. God wants you to come to this meeting. And it's all about your sin. Think about the terms of this meeting. Well, the term is, you've just got to come, you see. And you've just got to come the way you are. And another term is, you've got to be converted. Because in verse 16, it says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to be evil. God is telling them, you've to come to me, but you've got to be converted. And you've got to put away the evil of your doings. And you've got to wash and make you clean. You've got to turn your back on the world. And you've got to turn your back on sin. This is the terms God is setting out, you see. And there's got to be, of course, confession. As Pharaoh said in Exodus 10, verse 16, I have sinned against the Lord your God. This is the terms God is setting out for this mission. You'll never have a meeting with God on any other terms. You'll never be able to come in and to meet with God and talk about your sin on any other way, only these terms. You must come on God's terms. You must come in God's way. You must be willing to forsake your sin and to turn your back on the world. Or you'll never come at all. A lot of people try to draw up their own terms of coming to meet with God. But you cannot draw up your own terms. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's plain and simple and direct, and as to everyone's heart who is not saved, come now, says God. Come and speak with me. Come and confess your sin. Come and forsake your sin. Are you willing to come to God in these terms? At the beginning of this year, are you willing to leave your sin? You've had a year in the past of wickedness. Living in the world, as we said in our first point, being rebellious against God. Sinning against the light that God has given you. You go and try and do it another year. How foolish that would be for anyone, young or old, in the meeting. You see, the terms of this meeting, you've got to come, you've got to be converted. Come to God and confess your sins. And the time of this meeting is also set out here in God's divine counsel. He says, come now. Come now and let us reason together. That's the cry from God, you see. This is the call of God to the lost. And Isaiah goes out onto the streets and he says to these people, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What an invitation this was. You see, the time of this meeting. Come now. Come now, you see. The matter must be sorted out
now. Sins must be forsaken now. You must come to me now.
Not tomorrow. Not later on this year. But you've got to come now. And that's the call of God, an invitation here. That's the time of this meeting. Come now. And we do know that death can come at any moment. It was Isaac who said, "Behold, I am old, I know not the day of my death." And you know, for some of us in this meeting, this could be the day of your death. This could be the day of your death. There's a fellow over in Locke in Australia where I used to preach, Jerry O'Toole. He was not an Irish man, but that, he must have Irish friends and family along the line. And I got word this year that Jerry was dead. They sent me the word that Jerry was dead. I tried to talk to that man many times about the gospel, but the Jerry was dead. And someone gave me the information that the priest who did the funeral, he did the funeral and they buried Jerry. And the priest went home and sat down and he died. He died in his chair. Now if you'd have said to that priest, "You'll be dead next," he would have laughed. He wouldn't have thought it. But on the very same day of the funeral, he died. And we do know there's going to be a funeral in this church very shortly, today. But there could be one in a few other days. And it's yours. And there's not one here that believes that, of course. But it may be, friends. We know not the day of our death. And God sends this man out, "Come now, and let us reason together. Death may come. This could be the day of your death." And tomorrow's too late. It's too late. Too late to get right with God, you see. That's why we come now. Come now because of death and destruction. Verse 20, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured." Oh dear friends, there's danger and death in the life. If you refuse. If you walk out of this meeting this morning, still unsaved, you're really saying no to God. You're refusing the great invitation. You're really, in a sense, throwing it back in the face of God. I don't want it. But dear friends, you've got to come now. There's no better time to be saved than now, you see. That's God's divine counsel for this meeting. The theme of the meeting about sin and the terms of the meeting and the time of this meeting. What a way to start a new year, to be saved. To accept this invitation. Maybe in the past you've been refusing to come to Christ. Then why not come now? Come now to Christ. What has another year in sin? What has it done to you? It's put you further and further away from God. You've bounded yourself more and more in corruption and in sin, and you've been held even tighter to the world and tighter to the devil as the years pass by. It never gets easier to get saved. It gets harder. It gets harder, friends, the longer you go on. Come now, says God. And all the love and all the compassion that God has, he says, "Come now, let us reason together." But you come and trust him now. And then there's God's divine cleansing in our text. The promise of cleansing is saying here, just come now. There's reason to God, saith the Lord, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Listen to the promise of the Lord to the repentant sinner. There is the promise of cleansing, the promise of forgiveness. And God says, if you come to me, despite all of your sin, despite of all of the deeds, I'll forgive you. Isn't that amazing? Didn't we read just briefly what they said in verse 2 and disobedient and their wickedness like Sodom and Gomorrah? And God says, if you come,
If you come to this meeting, if you come and forsake your sin, if you come to me, I'll forgive you. That's what God is saying to his people. I will cleanse you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you whiter than the snow.
I'll forgive you. In Isaiah 57 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Didn't just pardon, abundantly pardon, you see.
This is a promise from God who cannot lie. He promises to forgive all sins to those who come to him for mercy.
Would you come and trust him today? Would you come to God?
He'll cleanse you from every sin. That's a promise of his cleansing and the power of his cleansing. Whiter than the snow, white as wool. You cannot get much whiter than that. God promises to cleanse the darkest and the filthiest sinner who comes to him, and he'll make them whiter than the snow.
That's what God says. And maybe you've come into this meeting today black and filthy and sinful
in the sight of God. God looks down upon you, and all he sees, like in verse 6, from the sole of your foot even on to the head, there's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. God looks down upon you, and all he sees is corruption of sin.
But God says, before you go out, you'll go out whiter than the snow. Dear friends, the gospel of Christ, what a message.
God will cleanse you. God will make you whiter than the snow. The psalmist says, Psalm 51 verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. He believed what God said in this invitation. He believed when we come to Christ, he would save him. He believed that the blood of Christ would cleanse him and make him whiter than the snow. And so he cries, wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. And see, it's Spurgeon said, you shall be so cleansed that not the shadow of a spot nor the sign of sin shall be left upon you. Isn't that amazing? That if you come to God, he make you whiter than the snow, that he not even leave one sin upon you. He not even leave a little sin upon you. He'll make you whiter than the snow, and every sin that you've committed, he'll take it all away. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. I'll blot out all your sins. And not only that, he says, I will not remember them, you see. And this is a promise that God has given to those who come to him. Come to me, and I will wash you whiter than the snow. God himself will do it. Not leave it to his servants. He's going to do this himself to those who come. I will wash you. I will cleanse you. This is the promise of his cleansing. This is the power of his cleansing.
Then the besieger of his cleansing. How does God do it?
How can God take a filthy, sinful man or a woman or a young person? How can God take one who is held in sin, who is black in their sin? How can he take such a one and make them whiter than the snow?
There's only one solution, and that's the precious blood of Christ. You can read right through the whole Bible and you'll never see another way of getting rid of sin other than the blood of Christ. We sing the little chorus for the boys and girls, what can wash away my sin?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin.
That's how God does it. The Lord Jesus takes the sinner's place. He died for us. The Lord Jesus takes the sinner's pollution upon him, their sins. It says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus takes the sinner's punishment.
He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And because Christ takes our place, because, friends, he takes our punishment, because he allowed the wrath of God to fall upon him and to shed his precious blood in order to save us, now God can cleanse us. Now God can wash us. Now the Lord can make us whiter than the snow. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. And I want to say to you, it's only the blood of Christ can do it. Never trust your church attendance coming to this church. And it's great to see people come to church services. I would encourage everyone to keep on coming to church. Some people make New Year resolution, I'm going to go to church more, and they'll go for the first month or two. I've seen it many times, and 2 months down the line, you'll not see them. Maybe some out today says, well, I'm really going to go to the house of God, and I trust that is so, but you're going to do it the whole year round. But remember, coming to this church will not take away your sin. It will not do it. All the ordinances of the church will not do it, friends. All the works and all your prayers cannot make you whiter than the snow. But I tell you this, the blood of Jesus Christ can. The blood that was shed for sinners can wash you. There's a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And this is the procedure of cleansing. There's no other way in this book. There's no other way of forgiveness. There's no other way to heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's God's way, and it's for all men. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter from the north of Ireland, the south of Ireland, India, Africa. It doesn't matter where you are in this globe. There's one procedure of cleansing, and there's one Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how God cleanses sinners. It's the only way of cleanse. We were singing early on, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O, make me clean, purge me from every stain, that me thine image gain, in love and mercy reign o'er all within. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. And that's how you get your sins forgiven. And that's what the Lord says here. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a promise God has given. What a promise there is for you. You can go out through the door today whiter than the snow. All your past is blotted out. All your sins are gone, and on your way to heaven. Would you come and accept this invitation in closing? Would you come today? Would you trust Christ today? Would you repent from your sin today? Or it's too late and you find yourself in hell to be lost forever and forever. God says, if you come, I'll cleanse you. I'll save you. I'll make you whiter than the snow. I'll take you to heaven. Will you come and do it? Would you accept it? Would you say, O Lamb of God, I come. I come, Lord. I come just the way I am. I come in all my filth. I come in all of my sin. I come with all of my weakness. I come to Christ. And I ask him to be my Savior. And if you do that, he'll save you. And he'll make you whiter than the snow. God's great invitation to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to close your ears? Going to reject it? Are you going to accept it? Are you going to say, it's time I sought the Lord? It's time I left my sin. Would you come and trust Christ today? If God has spoken to your heart, and to speak with me and Mr. Mercer, we'd be glad to speak with you, and the elders, or the deacons, and the Christian friends in the service. Do remain behind. Settle this matter today. What a way to begin the year. That all your sins is whiter, washed away in the blood of Christ. May God give you the grace to trust the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's knit our hearts together in prayer. We trust that God will bless his word to our hearts today. And if you're not saved, then we urge you to come to Christ just as you are. and know that cleansing in his blood. Father, we thank thee for our time in thy house and for thy precious word. We bless thee today for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus of pardon receives. And we thank thee, Lord, that this is a truth that we find right throughout Scripture, that where there is repentance, there will be forgiveness. Where there is a crying to thee for salvation, there will be a cleansing. And Lord, we pray that souls this very day would come to Christ, pass from death to life, and be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. Bless thy word to the salvation of souls, we pray, and part us now with thy blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.